Lord, I'm not worried because I know that you are in control. I believe that we are in the middle of your will here at New Testament Christian Fellowship. I believe sometimes there's just attacks that go on in all of our lives so that it will hinder us from following through with what we know in body ministry needs to happen. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about the pulpit. It's not about these lone superstars up here with charismata that can lead a congregation. It's about equipping the saints for works of service. It's about engaging all of us to participate and be a brick on the wall as every joint supplies to contribute to the cause of Christ on earth right now. How much more the world needs evangelists. How much more the world needs us to be a living picture of what Christian life is all about. They need to see smiling people. They need to see victorious people. Even if we don't feel it, they need to see it. Because God, we are a reflection of heaven on earth. And I know that there's only clapping and dancing and smiling and shouting and reverence and all of that going on in heaven. So this morning, Lord, will you help me to convey this last message today on the Holy Spirit? Just to bring it forth in a way in which we understand a little better that third person of the triunity of God, the Holy Spirit, and what he has planned for our life and not ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this is the last part of the Holy Spirit part of our series, and then we're going to have a couple of Christmas messages, if you don't mind. And then in the first of the year, I told you that following this knowledge that we're receiving about the Holy Spirit, I want to start a series on the release of the anointing. That means now we know all about who the Holy Spirit is, and we know we got 100% of him, not 20%, but he's all within us. How do we now take that 100% of the Holy Spirit and begin to yield and release the very gifting that every single one of you are? Well, Pastor, I can't get up in front of people and stuff like that. Well, then there's a place for you behind the scenes. Well, Pastor, I'm just not very good at singing and stuff like that. Neither am I. Join the crowd. We're going to get some people in here that are very excellent that are going to do that. Well, Pastor, I, nothing. It's what Jesus can do through you. You make it a point to yield and to grab onto the people that are sitting next to you that you know have the gifts that you may lack a little bit and rub up against them and sharpen each other and encourage one another as the time draws near. We need each other, and I need your gifts, or you will be completely bored with mine. Okay? So let's do that. So we finish today about the Holy Spirit and his role in the life of a believer. Many of his gifts, now here we go, especially the more extraordinary ones like prophecy, healings, miracles, tongues, they fell into a time of disuse soon after the early church period, and we all know that. They were very active during the book of Acts, but then they began to wane through the two centuries. Since that time, they have appeared only now and then at best. We've heard of revivals taking place at the airport or out in Pensacola or way back to the Azusa Street revival. And through our time, at least that we can relate to, we've seen sporadic showing up of some of these more miraculous, supernatural end of the giftings. Not just administrations and helps, but yes, miracles and healing in the prophetic, etc. In our century, many, and there's denominations out there, and we're not going to talk about that all today, have argued that these gifts belonged only to the apostolic period. What does that mean? To the apostles, the 12 that Jesus had. You know, we have apostles when we birth churches. Apostle, or the word apostolos, means being sent out. So if a church sends out someone to birth a church, they're an apostle of that church. Just like Paul birthed Timothy and Titus, they were known as apostles. Jesus had his 12. We're not adding to it or taking away from it. They were his 12. But he said that the apostolic gift would be given to the church so that we could continue to do what? Birth people and churches. So we do know that these gifts did not just belong to the apostles. And we know that they're not considered no longer needed since we have the completion of the New Testament documents to verify the gospel. What are we saying? The argument that some stand on is that we now have the completed canon of the New Testament, therefore we no longer need the gifts. How come Paul didn't say that? Why didn't the writers of the New Testament say that when they were talking about the gifts? My goodness gracious, I could just sit here and read you this front to cover. So does the devil. He didn't believe a word of it. What made those disciples heard, what allowed the word to go forth, was the living word. It was the signs and wonders following the word. Otherwise, why would Christianity rise above Mormonism or any other thing out there? Why should people want what we have if it's no different than what the rest of the world has? We do need the gifts today. Just reading it to them isn't enough. Yes, it's inspired. Yes, the Holy Spirit can just work through the Word. But Paul says, he lives it in you. And you all have a diversity of giftings. Use them so that people will see a greater picture of what heaven is like instead of just someone reading or testifying with the gift of teaching. There's more than just teaching, folks. The gifts are needed. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 10. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit brings to our lives, what's available today, what's within us. Not what people are teaching us, but what the Bible says is here. Love, thank God, God is love, and first and foremost, even above the gifts, he makes that statement. Love's above it all. You can prophesy, you can do miracles, you can do all those things. But if you don't have love, you're just a noisy gong. Because you could show me a miracle or something like that, but if you deliver it and it's without love and stuff like that, I'm still probably just going to shy away just because I'm not receiving you. We've got to do things in love. That's what characterizes God. It's who he is. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it will be done away. For now, we know in part, right? We live with our feet in the dirt. We're not in heaven yet where the perfect is and those gifts are not needed. We live in the dirt where people are weird and we all are different. And so for now, we only know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't see the whole picture. That's why I need all of you to come up here and sing a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, because we help complete it and we get a bigger picture. But we still don't get it all. Well, why could Jesus heal everybody and all people and all stuff like that? Because he did have it all. But see, we're parts of his body. Jesus could heal everybody. That's why you can't just walk in a hospital and heal every single person down the road, because that gift may not even be in you. Anybody can heal at any given time because you got the Holy Spirit in you, but the gift of healing may not be yours. Jesus encompassed all of it. But then he, through the Holy Spirit, dished it all out to all of us. So we all matter. We're all needed, whether you realize it or not. Well, I don't have any of those, Pastor. They just might have not grown up in you yet. You still may be on spiritual milk, and at some point when you're eating meat, you'll be able to do those things that require a little more strength because you're eating meat. But don't get down on yourself, because God doesn't create any junk. You matter. And you will, if you stay in this church, exercise your gift one way or the other, or you'll leave because you won't want to be held accountable. And that's happened too. That's why we don't have 3,000 members. Because we are people who are in relationship with one another, and we're going to hold each other accountable because we don't want any disease in the church. If you're sinning, I'm going to love you and tell you and try to get you out of your sin and stuff like that. But if you thumb your nose at me and say, I hate that, I don't matter, I'm going to do whatever I want to do and I don't care about God, then you know what? You're not welcome anymore after the whole church has approached you and said the same message, because you bring disease into the body. And Paul and all of the writers told us to do that. Well, we're not to judge, and we misuse that scripture too. We don't judge the world. But we ought to be fruit inspectors of one another and hold each other accountable. That's what grows the church. Grow, it says in there, in all aspects unto him. How do you grow if you don't have accountability? How do you grow if you don't have good teaching? How do you grow if there's no spanking every once in a while? Amen. You don't. And spanking does not stunt your growth, no matter how many of you may think that. But when the perfect comes, the partial be done away with. That means when Jesus comes back, you're right. Like those guys believe that to think that gifts no longer are available, they won't need to be available when the perfect comes. But the perfect has not come yet. So in part, we do need to prophesy and speak in tongues and do miracles and do healings, because it's here we need it. It won't be up there. The perfect Jesus has not come yet a second time. Paul is saying that the gifts do not belong to the final future. They belong to the present. Jesus left us with the Holy Spirit, including his gifts, until he returns. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and verses 4 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, this is Paul, I consider him a pretty good source. I do not want you to be unaware. Now let's read the part that he's talking about. Now where there are a variety of gifts, same Holy Spirit we all have. But he doesn't choose to operate in each one of us the same. And there are varieties of ministries. Thank God for the diversity. We don't have the same hair color. We all have different DNA. Praise God. It's how he wired us. Ask him when you get there if you don't believe me. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. See, we all serve the same. We got to have unity, folks. Just because we're different doesn't mean we can't come together There are varieties of effects. That's like miracles. But the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That means the Spirit's going to well up out of you, and you don't know what might happen. You might prophesy. You might sing. You might bring a piece of cake to somebody who's in desperate need. You might be like Bert sitting in a Walmart and tell, give him 50 bucks. That's not Bert saying that, because Bert said, I don't even want to do that. That's listening to the manifestation of the Spirit. You listen every time you listen to a song and you're moved and you know you want to repent, but by the end of it, you're so busy because you just got that phone call and your beeper went off that you never got to the fruit of what the Holy Spirit wanted you to do. We got to listen. He said it. We need to embrace that. For the one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. I love that. Don't think it's yours. It's through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. How? How can she know something about somebody else and she's never even met that person? Through the Spirit. That's how God works. We live in a very supernatural world. Why do we try to keep watering it down and say the gifts are gone? The gifts are in you. Holy Spirit's in you. He's not gone yet until the perfect comes. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. Oh, my goodness. By the same Spirit. No, it's not you healing the person. It's you being obedient to the Spirit working through you and laying hands on the sick so they will recover. And to another, the effecting of miracles. Of course they still are around. Paul's talking about them. And to another, prophesy. And to another, distinguishing of spirits. Oh, here's a big one. To another, various kinds of tongues. Well, they don't exist anymore. Well, you're speaking. There's at least one. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Folks, these are lists, and they're not all conclusive. I believe they're, you know, he just listed some of them. There's other things, that gifts within you that God can raise up, like art and painting and inspiration under the unction of the Holy Spirit when we're worshiping. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. And you know what? I believe, and this is mine, this is not biblical, I believe he looks a little bit at your personalities, about your own personal giftings, if you will, where you've stressed them and developed them throughout your life. And you're student of the Word. Therefore, teaching might be a good gift for that student of the Word. What I'm trying to say is you need to take a step forward of faith so that God can fill you. And a lot of times it's going to be in the areas where you might be strong. But you know what? You can blow that out of the water, because it's where you're weak, he's often strong. And where you're not gifted, he'll be gifted, so he gets the glory. But I believe both occur. I think we still have to be a good student of the Word, and God honors that. You'll be a better teacher if you study versus trying to wing it and saying, Holy Spirit, you just take over today, and you've never put an ounce of prayer or study into it. Let's not abuse the very things that we read. 1 Corinthians 12:27 and 28. Now you are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it. And God has appointed where? In the church. That's us. First apostles, they didn't die out, because we send people out. Second prophets, we're not an Old Testament prophet trying to bring, because that word wasn't there the same way, trying to bring God's message, a lot of times rebuke. Today we edify, encourage, and exhort. That's what a New Testament prophet does. Sometimes it is a rebuke. But there are prophets. Third, teachers. Then miracles. Then gifts of healing. Then helps. Then administrations, and then various kinds of tongues. Hello, they're around. Do you notice there's not even a pastor listed up there? We have so gotten away from what is biblical that we've developed institutions with lead men, and we call them pastors, and we think that the pastor needs the center of attention, and I'm supposed to get up here and do everything. I need help, guys. I need you to operate in all of your giftings. I can't do this. That's why half the pastors in the country are burning out. Because they're burying everybody and marrying everybody and standing up there and doing five services instead of trusting the people to rise up and to do. But you got to give opportunity. And I believe we do that here. And I believe there's other places that do that. But we've got to get biblical now. And we got to get the pastors back to where they should be functioning. They're not even on the top 10. 1 Corinthians 14:26, 29, 39, 40. What's the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Okay. Well, if pastor's not going to lead by himself, Each one has a psalm. You heard it this morning. A couple of them. Has a teaching, what I'm doing. Has a revelation, word of knowledge, hello. Has a tongue, an interpretation. We didn't hear that this morning, but maybe Holy Spirit didn't feel like doing that. Let all things be done what? For the building up, edification of the body of Christ. That's how we build our spiritual muscle. It's biblical. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Why? Because that's directly from God. That doesn't take any work on your part. That's just God unloading to you and you being obedient and spitting out what he told you. And do not forbid to speak in tongues. If it's a corporate tongue, there will be an interpretation. And if there's not, you'll get a little slap on the hand that says, maybe you were in the flesh. Don't do that again. But you wouldn't just keep the bike away from the child when he falls down the first time. Folks, this is a gym. You're going to practice your gifts. You're going to operate in those gifts. They just don't come natural. Hello, and that's true. They're supernatural. You have to learn how to yield, and sometimes you don't yield very well. Therefore, it becomes fleshly, and that's the leadership's job to balance you. But don't get mad at us and leave the church and never come back again because we do that. It's just like a parent. I'm leaving this family. I'm not going to get fed anymore, and I'm not going to... No. There's better things ahead, like your college paid for. Hang around. It's worth it. In other words, just don't run because you don't get your way or your gifting isn't being used in this season. Oh, because we don't have live praise and worship anymore, I'm just going to leave New Testament Christian Fellowship. We're going through a transition. We're going to still have many of the same musicians come back, and I pray even Gary and Anita will come back and be part of the whole. We're just going to have a new chief instead of an Indians, right? Sometimes it takes a transfer of the mantle at times, just for seasons, so that we operate in what God wants to do and not what we want to do. But all things must be done. Hey, don't think I'm out there saying, hey, all these gifts are available and we're just going to let them fly by the seat of their pants in here. No way. All things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. There's a way to prophesy. There's a way to speak in tongues and keep it all in order. And that's my job. That's the elder's job, so that we can discern that and make sure that all of these giftings that are available to give the diversity of the picture of Jesus, making sure that we're not out there being wacky and having people walk in and leave them because we're fruitcakes. They may do that anyway because some of these giftings are beyond what your natural can handle. You may fall down under the power of God because your human anatomy can't handle that awe. You may be giddy at times and laugh in a little bit of a stupid way, and it's okay to do that at home when you're speaking to each other, but when you come in church, oh, I better not do that in church. They'll think I'm... And then some people do it in church, and we do think you're that way, but that's all right. As long as it's being done in the Spirit, we're not to judge that. So, looking at some of these scriptures I've given you, does it sound like we're to function apart from his giftings? Does it sound like they died and all we need is this? And then, like all the other religions that are out there, we just start reading and hoping that people are going to do that? Yeah, the Holy Spirit certainly can. But the Holy Spirit presents himself more than with just the Word. God spoke the Word and the Holy Spirit went to work creating. God speaks the Word through your voice, and the Holy Spirit will then create. And he might have to create an environment where they see a miracle, or a healing, or a sign, or a wonder, or somebody singing a song right at the right moment, or the radio on your car playing the song right when you needed it.
Yes.
He uses that to be creative so that you will come to Christ. Because
yes.
His ultimate goal is to bring you into the family. Paul instructs Timothy, all of us for that matter, to fan the spirit life into flame in order to receive what? The necessary power and courage for ministry. He didn't just say, Timothy, go for it, man. Use what you've learned and do it. Fan the gift into flame, because that's what's going to win people to Christ. 1 Timothy 4:14, don't neglect the spiritual gift within you. Don't get so busy. Don't shop all this Christmas that you miss Jesus. Don't do everything without using your spiritual gift to give the gift that doesn't stop giving to others. And we're not talking about the physical all the time. Yeah, it's great to get gifts, and that's how we celebrate and do that. I want a gift, so don't eliminate that from your scenario, right? But I'd rather, if you have a choice, give me your spiritual gift. That's the greatest gift you can give this pastor and the leadership of our church, is to come up here and say, Pastor, I want to be used, and these are my gifts. Or if you don't know them, we'll find out what they are and get you operating in them. That's the greatest gift you can give us. Don't neglect it. Which was bestowed on you through what? Prophetic utterance. God said before you were ever born, I have available salvation for you. And should you receive that, I will give you the Holy Spirit, which Jesus does when you receive Christ, which is what we'll see this morning. And then the gift then becomes unlimited. Nothing is impossible with God. Through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. What does that mean? Gather the leaders together. For some reason, when someone's there and they feel the touch, your warmth embrace, your hug, they don't need you to read them 50 scriptures when they're sick sometimes. They need you to hold them. And that in and of itself is the greatest gift, and it's God holding them through you. It doesn't always have to be words. What does it say? Preach and use words if necessary. The laying on of hands, I believe it's because there's that physical touch, that spirit, soul, and body part of us that God wants us to do while we're being really spiritual. And you want that person that's sitting there to be reminded that this is not some kind of a ethereal thing way out there. This is real. This is a person who's been gifted by God to lay hands on and bestow upon me that which God wants to offer me. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to what? Kindle afresh. That means don't go off yesterday's bread. You might have a ministry, and you might have been up here preaching or teaching or on the praise team or whatever and stuff like that, and it may be that God has you do that the rest of your life, but he might say, I got a new season. I want you to operate like Peter and Paul did, switching roles. Paul went, and he went to the Gentiles, being a Jewish scholar, and Peter went to the Jews, who didn't even know how to fish sometimes. God loves to take our weaknesses and make himself strong through us. But better kindle afresh that gift within you through the laying on of my hands. That means, like, if you're not doing it, I'm going to slap you upside the head and say, get that thing going. No, it means that in love, I'm going to speak over you and remind you of what God has for your life. What a better friend who just calls you. Bert does it with me all the time. Every single week, not a week that goes by, I don't get some text that encourages me. That just is just a breath of fresh air. We all need that. Be that for somebody else. Folks, bottom line is the Holy Spirit is our source of empowerment. But not only are we to exercise his power, it's great. That part of the Holy Spirit that we're learning about, great giftings, great power, but we're also called to live a holy life. What's the other reason why the Holy Spirit's on board for you? Not just for you to exercise power and say, hey, look at me, because you're supposed to give glory to God anyway. But you've been given the Holy Spirit, and this is the gift to God, so that you can live, because you can't, outside of the Holy Spirit, live a holy life. What's a holy mean? Set apart. The world's going to see that you respond to situations and circumstances differently than the rest of the world. That when you're in pain, you're going to give glory and honor to God. When you don't understand, you're going to just trust God. The world's not going to do that. You've been given the Holy Spirit not just to exercise your giftings, but to live a holy life. For God is holy. Therefore, you be holy. And you know what it's called? The big theological word? The sanctification process. Where can I read that, Pastor? Right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Start with Romans and read to Jude. Because all of that, up until Revelation, where it talks about the future, is talking about the sanctification process. How you can be more like Jesus daily. 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16. Cleaning up our lives is a better way to put sanctification. Washing ourselves. Not with a physical bath, but with a spiritual bath. As obedient children, do not be conformed to your former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. When you didn't have Christ in your heart, you didn't ask him to come in. Holy Spirit's not there. Therefore, you're running on your own controls. So lust has its way. But now that the Holy Spirit's in there, lust is still going to want to have its way. You just got to call on the Holy Spirit to put it to a stop. But like the Holy One who called you, you be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior, not some of your behavior. Hello? Why? Because it's written, and God's word is forever settled in heaven. I didn't write it. This is just the way it is. You shall be holy, for I am. Notice, I am. Holy. Wow. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 and 8. For God has not called us. Okay, just so if you're thinking, well, maybe there's another reason, Pastor. You're not getting it all. It's for the giftings and to be holy. For God has not called us for the purposes of impurity. But why? But in sanctification. He wants us to change. He wants us to give up our lives and accept His. He wants us to get washed with the Word, with praise and worship, with hugs and laying on of hands and prophecy, interpretation of tongues and giftings and miraculous and signs and wonders. Why? Because that's heaven. That's what's going on there. Earth's not supposed to be some substandard place. God gives us everything we need when we all get together. That's a song, isn't it? We all get together. I think it's an old hymn. But it's true. So he who rejects this, you don't agree with, not me, but the Word, is not rejecting man, but the God who gives His Holy Spirit to you. What is he saying? I've given you the Holy Spirit. Don't sit on him for the rest of your life. Don't neglect your spiritual gift. You have been given the Holy Spirit for a purpose, to be supernatural, to exercise so that people will look at Christianity and say, it's the only way. Jesus is the only way. Only Jesus could do this. Paul is telling us that. You are rejecting God by rejecting the gifts. You're saying people are going to just have to recognize it because of my persuasiveness of words. And as anointed as this is, you speaking and speaking alone without that Holy Spirit doing what He wants to and having the freedom to do so is just... Because I don't know about the rest of you, but you can still read this Word and get nothing out of it. The devil did. Folks, the church in general has become so institutionalized that we've traded Holy Spirit power for knowledge. And we've become tolerant. Listen, this is the worst part of it. We have become tolerant of evil instead of holding fast to good. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 to 22. Do not quench the Spirit. God help us. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Examine everything, because he knows it's going to get wacky, because we have our flesh mixed in with it. You know, we're not in heaven yet, so part of our flesh sometimes rises up. Examine it carefully, but hold fast to that which is good. In other words, be a fruit inspector. Abstain from every form of evil. Father, forgive us for putting homosexuals in pulpits. Father, forgive us for thinking that living with somebody is just, well, we're going to get married one day, so we can just go ahead and have sex before we ever get there. I'm sorry, that does not work with my Bible. And it may step on your toes. Good, I hope I break them. Because it's better that you have a broken toe than to enter hell. Because you think you're serving the right God. That is mocking God. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, we have a Savior who's Jesus Christ. We fall into sin, and praise God, through repentance, we're forgiven daily on a regular. I'm talking about blatantly coming and saying, you know what? I'm calling good evil and evil good, and I'll do whatever I want, and I am not accountable to anybody, even a God. But when you are held accountable, don't get mad at your brothers and sisters in Christ for maybe pointing out some of the things that need to change, especially your pastor. Because it falls on me for the most part. I get the brunt of it. And it saddens me because it separates me from people that I love. It separates me from some of our best friends in the past. People that I would have walked through the rest of my life with and would have died for. But when it comes to doing what's right, regardless of the cost, even at the expense of your best friend, wife, or child, I choose Jesus Christ. Did I read 1 Thessalonians 5? Yes. Folks, as we bring this, I'm not going to say to a close, but we are. Our task is not to share our good views about God. It's to share the good news about God.
That's good.
And it includes what we talked about today. His presence, able to change our own personal lives, and His power. Okay? It includes, the good news includes sharing His presence and His power in our lives. People do not, I'm telling you today, they do not want lip service. They want genuine experience. Yeah. Leaders would do well to provide a setting and an atmosphere in which people can practice. As I'm talking right now, you should look at your own church, if you're a member here, and realize we're doing this. We're not perfect. We're not the only ones who are trying to arrive. But I will say that we're making every effort in our, that's within us, to do what the Bible says to do. So I'll say it again. It involves leadership doing well to provide a setting and an atmosphere which people can practice. Yes, it involves taking risks and creating opportunities in the corporate setting to let the gifts flow and build up the people of God. It means leadership must be willing to get out of the way and let the people of God function, each one bringing their gifts to God and to one another like you did today. The church must allow for spontaneity, yet operate with order. Folks, I believe we're in the process, again, of doing it here. We are seeking the greater gifts because I don't know about you, but when I grew up in church and to where I am now, I want more. I want more experience. And I'm not doing that in a vain way anymore. I did before. It's like, God, why won't you do more of the miraculous? Probably because I was saying it like that. And he told Moses, hey, look, they have, whatever. I forget who it was he told. He said, they have Moses and the prophets to preach to them. I'm not going to just go down there and do miracles. Because even when I did, they didn't follow them. I mean, manna out of heaven, quails out of heaven, water from the rock, buzzing bees going in and clearing their enemy out before them. I mean, here's all your miracles, folks, and they still rebelled. And it's easy for us to judge it and say, well, if I'd have saw those bees, well, if I'd have seen that water coming out, I'd still be on board 100%. Well, how many miracles have already been done in your life, and where are you? We got to get out of the way. We got to seek the greater gifts, 1 Corinthians 14:1. What does the Bible say? Pursue love. That's the greatest. He said, even when we got all the gifts operating, don't forget this. And he always reminds us of that. Without love, you're just a noisy gong. You're just some charismatic personality out here that, the gifts of God are irrevocable, so you'll probably still lay hands on the sick and they'll get healed. But half of them ain't going to even want to even get healed because of your sourpuss or your pride or because it's all about you and we're not directing them to him. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Why? Because that comes directly from God. Directly from God. 1 Corinthians 12:31. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. In other words, not only are we supposed to entertain the Holy Spirit and yield and operate in the gifts, but he says, I'm going to show you, even when you're doing that, even a better way to reach the lost. And that's just simply to love. To love. So to love and to operate in his giftings is to serve God well. That's what we're talking about today. Two things you can do. Let the gifts flow in you, but most of all, love. And I believe our experience of all of this begins with this final scripture. It begins with hungering. You want this now? Okay, Pastor, I understand what you've preached. I want it. This is where I believe it begins with the last scripture. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and they thirst for what? What's righteousness? Doing what's right regardless of the cost. Saying that God is on the throne and everything else below that throne is secondary to whatever he says. I want that. I'm so hungry for that, God, I'm willing to change my life to come underneath that lordship. For they shall be satisfied. Another word used in that is filled. That means, listen, God will fill us with his Spirit because he calls us to be filled, right, daily? God will fill us with his Spirit as we eat and we drink of his Spirit through worship, obedience, study of his Word, prayer, you get it, etc. When we do those things, we're filled with the Spirit. Duh. He's building us up in his Spirit. Being filled with his Spirit is not just a conversion experience. We call it baptism of the Holy Spirit. Initial baptism of the Holy Spirit is at conversion. But listen, it's also an ongoing process in our lives. Do not associate being filled with having only part of the Holy Spirit within you. Well, I was just filled with the Holy Spirit, but only 20%, 15%. One does not get more of the Spirit than you did at conversion, but through yieldedness, we experience more of him. Does that make sense? We get baptized fully immersed, 100% of the Holy Spirit at conversion, but then an ongoing process of sanctification with our yieldedness means we'll experience more of Him. So it looks like you're getting baptized again, if you will, or filled again, if you will. You are. The Holy Spirit 100% is in you, but as you yield, more of His experience will come from the inward to the outward. So don't get your elbow bent out of joint with terminology or theology here. Just understand that the Spirit can be fanned into flame and constantly renewed in you. And this is necessary for the sake of the lost, who desperately need to see God through you. Amen? Pam.